There's a couple of pieces there to establish the language that I'm using. A previous audience won't necessarily pre-select it for wanting to know about the title. So we have the vertical path of theory. I'm not talking about tokenization, but I am talking about what happens after you've got token, once you split the stream up. I'm also not talking about co-generation in the back end. What I'm talking about is using the one grammar, reusing that grammar for a number of different tools. And where that analysis may require common semantic analysis, for example, C and other languages require that you know and identify the type before the lecture passes it to the parser. So there are those aspects. And the technique I'm going to talk about today allows you to have a common base class problem to derive common base class for the grammar, not necessarily for forcing different situations for us to pass. And I'm making some assumptions. I'm making some assumptions that you are able to figure out when I align one of these grammar deductions that you get out of the reader. This is pure yes syntax, nothing special. It's not easy an answer yet. It's nearly easy an answer. I'm just picking the gap. There are plenty of other type generators out there. I'm aware of many of them, and every day, exclusively, people are talking about more. I am going to talk a little bit about syntax trees, not necessarily abstract ones, but from the ground there, the example there, we have a corresponding syntax tree. I will be talking about trees quite a lot. They provide the data structure which you can then rearrange, reinterpret, optimize, play games with. And some of this talks about playing those games with trees. It's not looking at that game. There's a lot to compile. I'm going to reiterate that I'm not talking about the other 74 pieces, just the first four in the diagram. The tools, and particularly one is the object grammar. Because if you look at a tool which say does a health care complexity measure for health care right now, a psychomatic complexity measure, you actually have to pass an interactive feedback tree before you can calculate the metric. Which is a lot of work that I can follow up, but the actions attached to grammar portion in parcels are usually written in the case of gap in C, and changing to C++. But it has an unfortunate side effect. What normally happens is all of those reductions get filled up with tool-specific uses of that syntax. And then chop full tools. So if you wish to take that grammar and use it for another tool, first thing is to strip out all of the uses made of that grammar by the other tool, and so we don't have to get reused. We don't get to use the same file compiled the same way for two tools. And there are clues as to how to do this. This is a little example that we see. On the left-hand side, we have the beginning of one of our grammar productions. And the first two lines are yak, and the rest of the third column is all C. But we can rearrange things, we can change it. If we pass all of the guns in another function, in another file, we can in fact get more of our grammar and have it not so utterly overwhelming of the amount of C. And this shows up as something that we can do. Because what we can do is we can move all of those production logic index number functions. We move them there entirely. And you see them with a link again and link through different tools to the back of our grammar. Or we can make them methods of a data file. You can make them pure virtual methods. Now we have something that we can reuse again and again and again. So this is the piece that I'm talking about, and this is the technique that I'm going to be talking about. Using factory methods in our pure virtual hardware-based library. And I'm going to use two examples, two fairly simple examples. The best example of this is a project that I have been working on many years ago when I was still at university. I used a system that some of you may remember probably not very many, called UCSD PACDAR, the port for the Apple II. And it would run PACDAR, the EQ compiler that was a self-hosted system, or the EQ resource, and it ran on 1 MHz. It worked, surprisingly. The compile time turned the order of lines per minute, not lines per second. Just matter. And so I came across while at a couple of disk images which I've been chucking around for years and years. With all this old code, I thought, I wonder if I can get it to run again. But it didn't have much to do. Fortunately, there are the necessary pieces out there on the web. And recently, UCSD issued a license so that you are allowed to have, modify, improve, but not quite on the source license, the sources to UCSD PACDAR. The really funny thing is that the website only contains the license, you have to go elsewhere on the internet to find sources. So I took this and I started compiling up and I found some Apple disk images and I found an Apple II emulator and glue them all together. And yes, UCSD PACDAR comes up and works. But the sources from UCSD aren't quite self-hosted, which is really different. So I thought, oh, how about that? Thank you. Serious retro computing, but anyway, I'm a good way into writing a trust compiler that takes UCSD Pascal and output the UCSD Pascal virtual machine. You know, they had a virtual machine back in 1981. And worked pretty well, and was well described and afforded to a lot of math projects. So that remained bankrupt. And of course, the sources were horrible to tell. The first thing I want to speak to. Second thing I want is the cost of cost. So it's really very difficult. Our parler has pointed to an abstract tangler, and we derived from an abstract tangler, a concrete tool. In this case, we only have two, but you can imagine what the value is. You know, digress a little bit and talk about how typically expression parsers happen. It's a very, very common way of implementing expression trees. Remember, I have this abstract syntax tree before. Very common. You have a completely generic data structure for holding all of these variants and up here which says which variant in the union you actually are using for any one expression type. I don't know how many times in my career I have used just this. It's very common, frequently used again and again. But I'm pretty much convinced it's an answer. The implementation with this, you wind up with, okay, I want to generate first my expression node and you get a switch. But if you want to do anything else to the expression node, you have another function with it, cross function method, and it will have a switch. So you wind up with a series of parallel switches. And every time what the switch does, it selects one bit variant and one bit. And this code is remarkably fragile in maintenance. Because somebody will go, oh, I don't want to add another thing to the union. Too much trouble. I'll just abuse one of the existing union members. And if someone else comes along and tries to deal with the unabused case of using that system member and changes something, they'll get the same handle. So it's quite fragile. And it's also wasting memory. If one of your variants is significantly large, and all you have to do is start trying to get a few pointers to other question marks, you aren't using more memory, sometimes much more memory, then you actually need, again, a maintenance program naively adds huge memory to the union, and suddenly your memory usage explodes. So it's a little bit better, not great. And in any case, because there is a single way you can apply to say exactly the same thing. Okay? And this is what, this is explicitly what virtual methods are for. We have each of these methods then an abstract expression based class, and suddenly the uses of the union you can see the union context is used. And we have a bunch of pure virtual methods. And we would derive specific expression mode classes from our abstract expression data class. And so our addition expression only has that coded mean to do cogeneration or to do confidence modeling or a bunch of other things. So it has only the method mean and it runs only the coded mean. The switch has disappeared. Because in fact we've replaced our ID that we were using previously with what people call a Z pointer for our C class. And that Z pointer effectively does the job of a switch. But it simply does it more efficiently because in some cases your switches can be very fast. Fast switches don't necessarily code up nicely, they can code up quite. Just gave me an example of other things. This one does one indirection to find the memory pointer very quick. It will be at least as fast as a switch, and it may work quick. And each derived expression node class, like traditional subtraction node here, uses exactly the amount of storage it needs. It doesn't have the enormous error, only those expression nodes that need that large amount of space. They will define their own cryo. And so things come out much more cleanly. The code, in the end, is all the same code. It's doing the same thing with the end of the expression tree to give the thing you would want, whether it's code generation or pre-fetching or whatever else. So that's the essence of the technique that I want to talk about. There's a way of recognizing that polymorphism can be used and exploited. We have some common standard, usually giving you quite a significant program. And so what we do is we attach these things. And does it have any questions? If we have a production which was an addition, and we say an expression can be defined as some expression plus some other expression, and we would attach the appropriate code. The code simply says that we have our context. This one is important. We take our expression and for each piece of code attached to a production, we call a method on our translator. And that typically says, oh, this is an addition. So it has a factory method for addition. And you see that on the code. So to call that factory method, those abstract ones, an abstract virtual, but the program doesn't know what's going to come back for compile or pre-print or whatever it is. The concrete input to the translator will say new expression something and will generate a dynamically allocated appropriate for the translator to focus the context object input. And it will do this for all of your production. This one has only two examples, more. But if you can pass it up, you've got a dozen or so different instances of operators. You have two divide operators, two times. Assign them, quality, less than, greater than, limit. They all can be used with exactly the same pattern of code. Just do it all the same way. And so you can cut, you can get the low hanging fruit really quickly in your compiler, you can just multiply And then, having reached the end of all of the things you can do with Brighton to print out the results, having reached the end of all you can do without doing any assignments, suddenly you come across assignments you could have passed. And assignments is really interesting because our grandma said we can have an expression which says some expression is assigned some other expression. But the expression grammar, the for an identifier, doesn't know. Is that a right-hand side variable? Or is that a left-hand side variable? Is it right-hand side variable and that is left-hand side variable? I'm not talking about other things, right? And so we then have a problem because if we've got an expression we can't assign it, that would be a mistake. Kevin is assigned 4, clearly an error. So I looked at, and again, very, very typical implementation of this. A common solution for this is to put the difference into the grammar itself. And we have a left-hand side grammar and a right-hand side grammar. And in this way, the grammar knows whether it's on the left or the right. We get a few interesting shift the view and reduce the conflict that they have to deal with the tax, not too bad at the end. But it gives you fundamentally horrible error messages. Because instead of telling you what you did wrong, instead of having the opportunity to suggest how you could go right, he just says, I know what you're talking about. I give up. Give it a useful view. The example on the right is what I'm aiming for. Because particularly having written in C++ and similar languages for a very long time, it's really hard to put colon for the people. I think you just don't do it. And so I get to error a lot. And so I wanted a better error message for them. Here at the line, sometimes quite sometimes quite warm them into that problem. So this is the error message which actually comes out of my custom line. And it does this by moving all of the words figuring out whether it's about the time given in the two expressions into the semantic and leaves it out of the syntax. But through this, you then have a problem on both of course. Is there a left-hand side identifier or a right-hand side identifier? Is there a way that we don't care? Or if there isn't a way that we don't care, can we make one out of the other and make an assumption? And the best assumption is that it's a right-hand identifier. Because things are passed with functions, they are calculated with the arithmetic and equivalent, all using the values, far more often than we assign to variables. So it's a pretty good assumption. So first we come, can we make the left-hand side out of the right-hand side? So this is the left-hand side of the example. This is a very, very common implementation of this problem. We take a left-hand side and we start working in quite a class. And we say, what are you? Are you a shape that I know how to deal with? Yes. Manually ordered, take your class, which we get a bit. And if you don't understand it, by the end you go, wait up. This is what we want to do. But remember before when I said that we had to replace the ID with a V pointer? When we had our other pattern, which and the fact is that this is something terribly similar. The switching off is not sort of ID. But our left-hand side already has a V-pointer. So why don't we have the left-hand side do the work? Instead of trying to force it into exactly the same pattern as all the other operators. And the trick is really simple. We use the left-hand side. Except this time, instead of being pure virtual, it's merely virtual. And the default implementation for the expression mode, when told, here's the right-hand side, turn yourself into assignment and handing back the result, requiring no access to any private. When we do this, the default implementation of the expression bar contains the error message. By default, these things are still being put on the left-hand side. So, for a left-hand operator, on the left-hand side, that doesn't make any sense. For a seven on the left-hand side, that doesn't make any sense. So all of these things, by default, say, don't belong to you, that's right. And then for expressions which can be on the left-hand side, such as an expression mode which is an identifier, the simple table tells us what the address is, and in order to be a value, we need the address. One of the implementations you can use is to make an address of node and an indirection expression node and link to it. So in order to dismantle that right hand side, we pull out the address and that expression node and build ourselves a storage server load. Store the reference server load to the reference. It becomes a very clean. And it generates best code. There are no downtime, safe or unsafe, and C++ does give you the ability to do that downtime. It's quite for both, but we don't need any downtime at all. There are no tasks in there to get wrong. There are no tasks to compute anything. Maintenance mode is more safe because they just haven't got access to the things that they don't shoot because of what we do. So these are nice. And we can then use this pattern again for all the other places where something isn't a strict, simple load my value. And things that are directly relevant are an array reference, left hand side, square bracket, right hand side, photo bracket. But left hand side isn't a load value, or usually the main thing. But basically, you use exactly the same technique, and you have a virtual method. Which says turn yourself into an array index, and here's the index itself is, returning an expression. And also then we're getting a member of the dot and the pointing out operator. That's how long that's pointing out. That's all. So these things all, those things also can use this same technique. And again, I'm not a sensible thing to do an array index on when the size is enough to set. I want to talk about
the three lines. I've followed the talk so far, and it's a bit at a loss of why you didn't just make an improved version of the counter example that you have in mobile collection. Why wouldn't you have a virtual expression of time method, which is different for things that are valid, as I checked, like an integer or what have you? What's the specific isolation to using a factory? That's one of my questions.
It's entirely possible in that in counting that that we would attach in the grammar a color translator to make the name in front of it, and you could put the direction there. But the piece on the left is not a switch, it's basically a list and out tree, which frequently pilots zoom to switches anyway. Yep. But basically, we're using readable models with a particular ID, because that always, if you use dynamic task, for example, in C++, you can discover whether it's a particular class or not. So if you are this class, then do this.
I'm not suggesting you use a Canberra example or something like it. I just want to know what the motivation is using a factory instead of just making an expression of time virtual.
We haven't got the ID on the left. In order to get the ID, we use a dynamic task. But if we're going to do that, it means that we can already, because we have something already that we can do that too, use a virtual method instead. And it will be quicker. You can imagine that the last thing you test in the list, of course, is always going to be the slowest performance. Whereas with a D-point, it just happens. It doesn't do any of the downtime, it doesn't do any of the gifts, it doesn't have to do any of the tests. It just says, hello, that's that guy. I'm told you're supposed to do the timing. And it's one indirection, it's significantly faster than you can. And to many, having played with it for a while, these are the same, these are different instances of the same pattern. You're swapping an ID to a D-point. So you use the D-point. Don't try and go backwards and synthesize the idea again out of your object. I'm going to race through the answers because I'm not asking questions, but it turns out that we still have to find things happening. First common, if you're actually generating code for an edition, that we have to generate different opcodes depending on what sort of edition it is. We have got two integers being added, two reals being added, these are not clear. I mean, you think they're packed up because the generated code added into the recursive stack didn't know at the time it had an integer expression that it needed to turn into a real. There's very strange promotion opcodes which say, top of stack real, next thing on the stack is an integer, pop the top of stack, promote the integer to a real, and push the top of stack back on. Also that we can do this no backtracking code generator that we refer to the account. Now, I'm putting all of this stuff into a tree, a management tree of some sort. And so when I discover an additional opcode, I can actually make a task expression mode so I don't need some of the more interesting opcodes that we deal with that down there. But again, what we have is, we've got a switch. Take an ID, well, in that case, take two IDs, and figure out what to do. So it's a switch again. This is a mocking method. This is where you need to switch on two big ones. Something that C++ has no direct support for. Other OO languages do. But it took back, and it took me a while to realize this, and some months of year then before somebody actually figured out what I'm talking about. This is a 2D case of the previous task. We can turn this into a much smaller number of indirect, a much shorter set of tests. But we do have to find a way, and in this case, C++ can't help us as well. You know, we need to switch on two big ones to make stuff more quickly. But the goal in this case is to produce two addition node types, one for real additions and one for integer additions. And we're going to generate that not at our generation time, but we're going to produce this every instance when we instantiate our expression node. Just like we did before, we move the whole, what am I going to do today, out of, we move the switch or the pick down, out of the method box, and shift it all the way up to object creation time. Instead of that co-generation time, we're doing it at object instantiation time. The right hand side is where we're trying to get to. The expression factory method that is in your Divine Tableau Staff call this table to dispatch question I have by this result. And again, if that table has no entries in it, you get a generic error message saying, this is an inappropriate operation. And I'm after the name, so I can insert the name into the account. And so you get the same error message out of the default table. If I do it hand waves, because I'm running out of time, and just because. Does it tell the balance that this can? So what I've tried to do today is give you a way of recognizing when polymorphisms can be used, particularly when you're going to latency decoding, which is a problem, particularly when you're going to talk to you about, really understand what matters. A way to completely abstract out the syntax from grammar, so that you can reuse again and again in grammar, because that can be very hard. And also, very briefly, showed you the two-dimensional case of the same thing for dealing with operators of different types of division, or any other way. Because again, it happens in every human division, multiplication, subtraction, you name it. Any questions?
So that much code would be in a compared to FYDX, that kind of code would be in the actual code production.
Typically what it collapses to is very, very small. I mean the Pascal finishing is one of the simplest and intended to be for implementation of APX plus process. But typically what you wind up with is in an addition, for example, code generate the left hand side, code generate the right hand side, whatever that is, just for the relation method, just look, and generate one off code, either a real addition or an integer addition, or a string concatenation, but that's what we have. Supported in the original compiler, there's nothing like that. So what you've got is these tiny little classes. You've got a huge number of them. Because C++ is really quite so low. And plus they sound much more comprehensible if you have a fairly strict one class one file implementation. You can do it the other way, but I find it's much harder to guess where the window is supposed to be. If you do that, you might get quite a lot of harm, but you might be method for very short. Constant volume on the addition. On the integer addition, how the expression knows, I know you're an integer constant, give me a value, broker, add, synthesize, new, constant integer expression knows, with its value. And even that, of course, is done in three lines. It's very, very small. You could look in one with a slightly other. But, yeah, you want to do, for each of expression knows, method is a very good show. Instead of a switch, all of lots of things, by the time you scroll down four pages, you've forgotten the switch from it, or just the main bank account looking at it. And it's sometimes very similar in navigating that to the file from somebody else, simply like off the line.
You mentioned the tool edge will be how useful do you think this approach to things like you mentioned preferences, that kind of thing, in making similar tools to a compiler?
There are examples in both of the other sort of projects listed that have a good reason.
Okay.
The previous thing to work in my case is sure to extend. It also serves as an excellent counter example. Preprint and compiler are sufficient for this one. Compiler is really much more demanding. It's frequently quite nice to generate write a code for a preprint, write a unit test for it, park it, and we're going to do some fireworks here. Going to take more demand on the technique. And you, pretty rapidly, you always generate Tool A and Tool B, you see the opportunity for remastering chunks of methods into the abstract beta class.
I was 3 years back, I was working on software. It was multiple sensors, multiple packets of software. We were trying to use Arrack or Tool Engine software. But to be honest, I realized that this is for every backend, usually designed, it is another for sure. And how does your system handle multiple backends? Do you require a separate method for? For me, it's always handling off the backend. Streaming the language was sufficient to stream off. Assuming language is sufficiently similar, it would be entirely possible that for each language we could reuse and translate base file. Might be more opportunity for abstracting it out. There might need to be a little bit more fine-grained barriers in the abstract base file. But for sufficiently similar languages, I think it could be the same translator and translator hierarchy, file hierarchy, with different languages.
So, our problem basically was that we wanted modularity between those two pieces. So, we wanted the semantic analysis built in the front-end and the code in the back-end object. And you had three front-end and two back-end. You wanted to link them. Unfortunately, C++ doesn't allow you to put methods in multiple kind of things.
I wanted to use translators. Is an application specific language and you generate that as back end to go. Yeah. And I also have, and this is the thing about Prisma, generate that as back end to go language, which is what Prisma is. If you use this technique and material from it, then you could. Using the pre-critical reach language, you can then translate one language into the other. But as we know in translation, there's not a one-to-one matter. So yes, it becomes extremely challenging. And from memory, GCC puts the common portion in the different place. With Pascal is just as ugly as C, and the lecture actually needs to know about types, so that it can the appropriate token to the moment. And it turns out Pascal has the same argument. Even though it was designed to be an LL1 language, and therefore be able to be parsed and co-generated with search system very quickly, it still has this knowledge about whether I'm identified as a type name or not, which makes something messy. But it also has a very nasty side effect that the single table management winds up living in the translator. So that the lecture can't be translator. And it doesn't mean the translator that you have to have an abstract in your base file so that the lecture can still ask the translator. So it turns out the syntax analysis, the semantic analysis at that level, what symbols are, and managing the single table can be abstracted between the two. Pre-printer doesn't make a lot of use of it. I mean, it's a silly thing to put on the left-hand side, the pre-printer doesn't care, it's still printed. Whereas the compiler doesn't have to access that. Well, I think for this edition, single language, yes, because there's two components. It would require, in this case, linking one and the other, the usual trick we do with C. You actually have to link, but that's not the end of the world. I tend to park most of my stuff in a library, and for one tool, I instantiate one sort of file, the other tool, I instantiate the other file, and the linker goes, so we weren't talking to their the same thing that would be possible, but if the language is sufficiently different, if the information necessary in your symbol table is sufficiently different between the two languages, then you know, I don't think it would elegantly solve that problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.